Today on State of the World, a look at Israel's other front line. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Thursday, December 7th. I'm Greg Dixon. Fierce fighting in Gaza between Israel and Hamas continues, but there is a second active front in northern Israel. There, Israeli forces have traded artillery and rocket fire with Hezbollah, a militia backed by Iran that operates in Lebanon. We're going to hear voices from both sides of that second front now. In a few minutes, people who live in a village on the Lebanon side of the border. But first, NPR's Brian Mann spoke to people on the Israel side and found many who think a full-scale war with Hezbollah is inevitable.
I arrive at Kibbutz Lehavot HaBashan, a short drive from the Lebanon border, on a beautiful spring-like afternoon. This is the Upper Galilee region in the far north, sort of the Vermont of Israel. And the first person I meet is Renan Monika.
I have a workshop, bike workshop.
For 20 years, Monika has been guiding tourists on mountain bike trips through these hills. That's all stopped.
Yeah, because the war now, so it's a bad situation, and we don't have a customers, nobody want to come.
No customers and a lot fewer neighbors. Israel's government says more than 40 communities in this area have been evacuated since October 7th because of the threat of Hezbollah, which operates nearby. More than 60,000 Israelis were required to leave their homes. Other families left voluntarily.
Now we just half people here in the kibbutz. We don't know, actually. We're living day by day. I'm not afraid, if you ask me.
Do you have family?
Here, yeah, of course.
Your
kids and family.
Kids and family. Do you ever think this is too risky?
Not yet. It's my place, it's my home. I born here.
There were full-scale wars fought on this frontier in the 1980s and again in 2006. Both sides regularly trade artillery and sniper fire. But after Hamas's attack on Israel October 7th, there's been more shooting, more rockets. Ziv Marom was also born in this kibbutz.
The Galil is the most beautiful place in Israel. And it was developing and developing and developing. It was crazy how beautiful it was. And now if people that live in kibbutz near the borders are not planning to come back.
Marom runs a coffee shop here. Now it's mostly empty. He says people fear there might be raids on their homes by Hezbollah like the one Hamas carried out in the south.
It could be the same event here in the north. And the Hezbollah is a stronger army than the Hamas. The fear, and it grew up.
When I ask what Israel should do to give them back their sense of safety, I hear one idea from people here over and over. Many want a full-scale war.
I know now that we have to crush them and crush them big time. Big time. They understand power, and that's what we need to show because we have power.
The U.S. and other countries are scrambling to contain this war, limiting it to Gaza and Israel's already bloody fight with Hamas. But Israeli soldiers like Zohar Ben Sushan say the danger posed by Hezbollah has risen a lot.
We think that they have a lot of power and more ways to attack us and hurt the community here in the north. So it really feels like protecting my home.
Ben Sushan is 24, a reservist in Israel's army from the northern city of Haifa. She's based here at a forward lookout post, one of the closest defensive positions Israel's army maintains on the Lebanon border. She takes me across the muddy yard to an observation post, and Lebanon is right there.
You really can see the houses. If you just go, you can see that.
Ben Sushan says Hezbollah fighters are over there, well-armed and organized.
Sometimes it's also scary. One time I was in the shower and the shooting started and it was really scary. I ran to my room and, you know, take my clothes and weapon and went outside. So it really can attack you anytime.
Many Israelis who consider the Upper Galilee their home tell NPR the Israeli army's presence is comforting but not enough. They say the border is too big, too porous to defend reliably. After leaving the frontier, I stop in the city of Nazareth, a 90-minute drive away, where people evacuated from northern communities are being housed by the government in hotels.
We're here already five weeks, a little bit more than 300 people.
Erez Bergman is from the Sneer kibbutz. His entire community is here, men, women, and a lot of kids, including his own. He says after seeing what happened during Hamas's attack, He's thinking about leaving the north for good, to protect his family.
Yes, I'm saying it sadly, but yes. I do not want to make my children in a position that they are harmed.
Bergman, too, says there's only one thing that will make him feel safe returning home. He wants a full-scale war that will do to Hezbollah what Israel is now trying to do to Hamas.
I mean, we will fight very hard Hezbollah. That's the only option. It's not a good option, but if we want to go home and feel that there's nobody near the border that can threaten us or our children, that's the only solution I can see.
Many of the Israelis interviewed by NPR voiced impatience with their government for not already striking harder against Hezbollah. Others predicted that as soon as the fight with Hamas is over in the south, Israel's military will turn its attention here. Brian Mann, NPR News, on the Israel-Lebanon border.
And we'll hear from the other side of that border next. So, we've heard the view from the Israel side of the border. Now to Lebanon. Before the most recent flare-up, there was a week-long pause in attacks between Israel and Hezbollah. And that's when NPR's Jane Araf went to one village where people had returned to assess their damaged houses. And some told her they were staying despite the danger.
All around is destruction. But Ali Suleiman has come back to try to repair the apartments his grandparents worked for years to build for their extended family. Their home is just about 400 yards from the border with Israel in the Lebanese village of Kfar Kalla. He says the building was hit 4 times by Israeli artillery since the war in Gaza began. Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated from both sides of the border. Hezbollah says 82 of its fighters have been killed, along with what Lebanese media say are at least 14 civilians. At least 9 Israelis have been killed, including soldiers, according to Israeli media. In Lebanon, towns like Kfar Kalla have been particularly hard hit. This whole apartment building is pretty much destroyed. So badly damaged that they're tearing down some of the walls. Most of the walls are scorched and blackened. One has a tank round-sized hole punched through it. On the roof, near broken solar panels, Suleiman tells us the destruction is a price he's happy to pay for having the Iran-backed Lebanese militia Hezbollah fighting for them.
I mean, if Israel could manage to do to us what it's doing to Gaza, they would have done it. But they can't because Hezbollah is here.
Suleiman's next-door neighbor, Wadad Gharib, drops by to see who's around. Her husband has stayed in their house every night. But she leaves by nightfall and returns in the day.
Now it's become like a ghost town around me. There are no neighbors around anymore. I'm alone now and afraid. I'm staying with my daughter while I figure out what to do. At least there's someone there to keep me company.
As we go with her to see the damage to her own house, Israeli surveillance drones buzz overhead, as they have every day since the war in Gaza started. Hezbollah has strong support in this town, although not everyone backs the group. We find Gharib's husband, Ibrahim Hamoud, sitting with a friend. Inside, part of the living room ceiling has caved in, and the red velvet sofas are covered in plaster and bits of glass. Hamoud says he was sleeping upstairs when the first floor was hit. He worked 5 years in construction in Africa to build his dream home, and he says he won't leave it.
There's no one who doesn't know fear except a fool. If there were a shelter, I would go to it, but in Lebanon, everything is chaos.
Hamoud's wife, though, is packing to go to her daughter's for the night. I'd rather they call me a coward 1,000 times than for them to say once, "God rest her soul," she says. It's been 7 days of relative calm, and Gharib prays it will hold the next day.
Tomorrow, God willing, things will improve and there will be a ceasefire, so we can come back and not leave.
She climbs into a crowded car, leaving behind her husband sitting in a plastic chair surrounded by the shattered glass. Their friend has stayed in his home in Hula, a town that has been even harder hit by Israeli strikes than this one. The men, both in their 70s, say it would be humiliating to stay with relatives more than a day or two. On Friday, the day after we meet them, the temporary ceasefire is broken, and attacks between Hezbollah and Israel resume, along with the war in Gaza. We check in again with the two friends. Hamoud's friend says his aunt and her son were killed that day in an airstrike in Houla. They died in the rubble of their home. Hezbollah claimed the young man as one of their fighters. 2 days later, Hamoud tells us he and his wife are all right, but another airstrike has hit their house. The video he sends shows it almost completely destroyed. Here, it seems, you can count on peace only one day at a time. Jane Araf, NPR News, Kfar Kella, South Lebanon.
That's the State of the World from NPR. If you appreciate our reporting, like bringing you voices from both sides of an unfolding conflict, please consider supporting public media. Here are two ways you can do that. You can sign up for State of the World Plus at plus.npr.org or on our show page in Apple Podcasts. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to your local NPR station. It takes a lot for us to bring you these stories from around the world, so thank you to those who are helping make that possible. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you again soon.